want to go to John 15 another time. John 15, if you'll jump over there with me. John 15 is the great chapter on the vine and the branches. I want to introduce our thoughts tonight by telling you just a little story, true story. There was a young Jewish girl born into a Jewish home. Her father was a renowned medical doctor. In fact, she was born in England, and her father was the chief surgeon to the royal family. Well, this young Jewish girl, when she was 13 years old, a nanny that served her family would witness to her and tell her about the Lord. And as a 13-year-old girl, she trusted Jesus as her Savior. She shared that with her father, and he hit the roof. And he said, if you don't get that out of your head, I'm going to disinherit you. But she couldn't get it out of her head, because it wasn't just in her head, it was in her heart. And as a result, she was shunned, and she felt the Lord wanted her to go to Bible school. She got biblical training. She wanted to witness to her own people, the Jews especially, but to anyone. She came into contact with Dr. A.B. Simpson, who is, I don't know if you've heard of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, but he was the founder of that denomination. In fact, she went through biblical training, and Dr. Simpson ordained her into the gospel ministry. She immigrated to the United States of America, specifically to New York City, and for about 60 years, she spread the gospel here in New York City. She did so in public ministry, in open air. She would actually preach the gospel on the streets of Manhattan or on the streets of Queens or Brooklyn. And when the Lord led us to Brooklyn, New York, we finally found a storefront that needed a lot of work. We had to put a new floor in it and everything. But it was right across the street, 2307. This is 2304, right across the street. And the first service that we ever had, which I think, if I remember correctly, was April 13th, 1997. This elderly Jewish woman was sitting right up near the front. And it was this one that I'm talking to you about. She had come really to the end of her ministry, basically. She had earned, she had been given a honorary doctor degree. And so she was affectionately known as Dr. Lyons. Her name was Dr. Lily Lyons. And she lived right around the corner on Bedford Avenue. And she told us that she had prayed that the Lord, that she had moved there, and that the Lord, she prayed the Lord would give her a church that she could attend, that she could walk to. And so as a result, she ended up at Bethel. But I remember from the very first time that I met her, I knew there was something very distinct about this woman, that she knew the Lord in a very deep way that I didn't. And I remember whenever I would ask her, Dr. Lyons, how are you doing? Her response was always the same. She would always say, I'm abiding. I'm abiding. And I knew what she was referring to. I knew she was referring to John 15. I knew where it was found in the Bible, and I had a basic idea of what it meant, but I hadn't been very successful at it myself. I want to share with you tonight from John 15 what I've since discovered and understand about the secret of fruit bearing, which is abiding. And two things in particular that I want to share with you: the purpose of abiding and some principles of abiding. But let's pray first. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the testimony of saints like Lily Lyons. Thank you, Lord, for how you impact our lives through people and their ministry to us. And I do ask that you would use this time that we have together tonight in your word to spiritually impact us in a way that we would not forget, that we would be able to leave here tonight knowing that you have spoken to our hearts and that you have given us something that will be used in us, in our lives for many years to come, the rest of our life. We just thank you for the truth that you give to your disciples, especially here in John 15. And we pray that you'll be glorified by us learning to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so John 15 is where I've had you turn. And I want to begin by just reviewing a little bit, reading. Verse 1, Jesus speaking says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or if I could put it in different words, he's the vine keeper. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, the branch is you. The branch is me, if you're a professing believer. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, we could say pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean or purged or pruned through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. This is where I want you to see the word abide. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men cast them, gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I don't know if you caught it, but in those seven verses, the Lord uses a form of the word abide 10 times in just those few verses. Actually, in verses 4 through 7, 10 times he uses that phrase, abide or abideth. What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of abiding? Well, let me begin by saying that there are just two sources, folks, that believers seek fulfillment in. Either you, as a believer, are seeking your fulfillment in your relationship with the Lord, or you're seeking your fulfillment in what you do for the Lord. But only one of those two ways will produce a lasting sense of fulfillment. What we're talking about here, when Jesus says, abide in me, he's offering you and I an opportunity that really matches the purpose for which he would give this instruction. God does not want you to do more for him, but God wants you to be with him more. That's what he's saying. Because being with Jesus will make what you do for Jesus effective. And so he turns our attention, when he uses this word abide in me, he's turning our attention away from our activity for him to our intimacy with him. The purpose is not to have you do more for Jesus, but for you to be more with Jesus, to abide. To abide means to remain. To abide means to stay with. He's talking about being in a close connection with him continually, always. You have to be together with Jesus if you will ever achieve a spiritual or an eternal impact upon others. You can't do it. You can't have spiritual impact without more of Jesus. So it's an opportunity, the purpose of abiding. But also, it's a responsibility. Because up to this point, the first three verses of this chapter, we've been looking at what the vine or the vine keeper does for the believer. But now he turns our attention to what the responsibility of the believer, and the one responsibility is abide. That's it. And by the way, when he says abide in me, it's in the imperative tense. It's a command. It's not a suggestion by Jesus. It's not a request by Jesus. It's a command by Jesus. Abide in me. And he says, if you abide, you have to take action. Even though it's abiding is not doing more for Jesus, but it is something that you have to do. If you don't abide, look at what he says in verse 6. If you don't abide in me, he says, you're gonna dry up, you're gonna die spiritually, you're gonna wither and die, and you're gonna become of no spiritual use. That has nothing to do with your salvation. It's just saying that as a believer, if you're not abiding in Jesus, your spiritual life is drying up. It has the marks of death on it. That's what he's saying. But through abiding, he's saying you'll draw all the spiritual nourishment from Jesus. His life will flow through you and will produce the fruit. And you'll have an intimacy with him that you'll never know if you don't abide. In fact, what he's saying is you need to make intimacy with Jesus your number one priority, because it's the most important relationship in your life. It's more important than any human relationship that you have. So make intimacy, which is part of abiding, make it the number one priority in your life. Not your job, not your family, nothing else. Make this the number one priority, abiding, intimacy with Jesus. So that's a purpose. It's an opportunity, it's a responsibility. But let me share a couple of principles with you about abiding that really, I think, helps us understand how, you know, really, what is it and how do you do it? Well, notice what he says in verse 4. He says, abide in me. So abiding is a person. Abiding, it's not how much you know about the Bible. It's not even how much you know about God. Abiding is seeking. It is longing, it's longing for, it's waiting for, it's seeing, it's knowing, it's loving, it's hearing, and responding to a person. Abide in me, Jesus says. It's responding to a person. It's more of God in your actions, in your thoughts, in your desires, in your life. It's what the psalmist meant when he said, as the deer pants after the water in the stream in a desert place, so my soul longs, pants, thirsts for you. It's what David says in Psalm 63, when he says, "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My flesh and my soul long for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." So God wants you to abide, and God, he really wants to abide with you more than you and I want to abide with him, or he would have never said that. So abiding, it's a person. And the principles that I want to share with you about abiding in this person, Jesus, it involves the Bible, obviously. It involves a time in God's Word regularly. It involves praying regularly. It involves, are you ready for this? Rising early. It involves rising early to spend time in God's Word, to write in a page in a spiritual journal, to seek God until you find a connection with him every day. You know, you can have time with God. You can spend time in the Bible and time in prayer without abiding. You can read a book about a person and not know that person who wrote the book. What he's saying here is he wants us to go from a disciplined, regular time spent in the Bible, spent in prayer, to an activity, to a living, flourishing relationship with him. That's what it means to abide. And there are two key truths that I want to finish up with that really show us what abiding is about. And the first one is what I call spending. And the second one is depending. But the first one, spending, what I mean is time with God. Spending time with God. And when I talk about spending time with God, I'm talking about quality. To set apart a specific, consistent time each day that you seek God, that you, like the psalmist, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord." You rise early. You know, I've listened and I've looked and I've studied, and I have never, never come across a single individual who had real impact, spiritual impact for the Lord, that was not a person that rose early to spend time with God. I'm not saying that you can't spend time with God at other hours, but people that make impact for the Lord are people that rise early to meet with him first thing. So rise early. This is what I mean by spending. It's costly. It's costly in energy and time. Spending time with God, rising early, setting a significant time in a private place where you can read without interruption, where you can write in a spiritual journal without interruption, where you can think and study and talk out loud and even cry, weep before the Lord if need be. A significant time in a private place where you can savor the Word of God like a delicious gourmet meal, so that the Word of God will dwell in you richly. Where you read your Bible, not just to read your Bible, but you read it to connect with its author. You read the Bible to connect with Jesus, to talk to him in prayer as you would talk to a friend about what he shows you in your connection with him in the Word of God, and what he speaks to you about. And you don't rush off. You stay until you connect with the Lord and you record in your personal spiritual journal what the Lord has spoken to your heart about and what you want to see happen in your life as a result. I'm not talking about a journal where you put down, you know, the events of the day and the weather, but I'm talking about your time where God has spoken to your heart because you connected with his spirit and he's connected with your spirit and he has spoken to you. So spending time with the Lord, and I'm talking about quality time, but let me expand on that. Not only quality in spending, but continuity in spending. And by that, I mean expanding your morning appointment with God to an all-day experience of the presence of God in your life. When you leave the house or when you get working in the house, he's there with you. You're aware of the presence of the Lord. Didn't he say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? And we only think that that applies when we really need him. Well, we really need him all the time. And so a continuity where you take that quality time and you expand it into an all-day experience of the presence of God in your life. That whatever happens, and you don't know what's going to happen any given day, but whatever takes place, you can tap into God's help. You can tap into God's ability, which leads me to the second thing that I wanted to mention about principles of abiding. Not only spending, but depending. Spending is time with God. Depending is trust in God. Trust in God. Depending on the Lord. That's what abiding is. And it's not a sentimental feeling. Depending on God is a significant act of faith on your part. And there are two areas in which we depend upon the Lord in our daily walk with him. And the first area I call advisability. In other words, we're looking to him for counsel. We're looking to him for wisdom. We're looking to him for insight and guidance and direction as we walk step by step through the day. We're depending upon him for that. We're taking the promises of the Bible where he says, if you will look to me, if you will ask me, I'll guide you. I'll give you the direction. I'll give you the wisdom that you need at any given moment, that you take that promise of his leading and you believe him, and he's going to lead you. But you need to learn to recognize his voice and how to listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit with a willingness. I think this is required, a willingness to obey. You know what I found? When I have a lot to do, if I don't skimp on my time with the Lord, I find that I can accomplish more because I'm in tune with God than I would ever accomplish if I skimped on my time with the Lord and just started tackling the tasks for the day, so to speak. And that never fails. That's the way God works. It's an act of faith. You're trusting him. You're depending upon him, first of all, in the area of advisability. That is, I need your guidance, Lord. I need your leading. And the second area in which you're depending upon the Lord is for his ability, not only his advisability, but his ability. You're depending upon God for what you can't do. Do you come to the place in your daily life where you say, Lord, I know what you expect of me in this, but I can't do that. But you can. And so I'm going to depend upon you to do that through me. You know what depending upon the Lord is? It's asking and taking all the spiritual provision that he offers and makes available to us through Christ who lives in you. It's drawing upon the Spirit's power. It's availing yourself of the Spirit's fruit to be made manifest in your life. When I'm angry, Lord, I need your peace. I need the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. When I'm hateful, Lord, I need your love. I need the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. when I'm bummed out and sorrowful, Lord, I need your joy, and so on and so forth. And you'll see that he will lift you and meet you in your need, and you'll find that he will give you supernatural ability, a supernatural lift, if you depend upon him. It will be his ability at work in all of your inability. That's the same principle that we've been seeing in the book of 2 Corinthians, strength through weakness. His strength in our strengthlessness. So, if you take these two truths to heart, spending, that is time with the Lord, and depending, that is trust in the Lord, you're going to experience abundant fruitfulness, much fruit. And when someone asks you, how are you doing? You'll be able to truthfully answer, I'm abiding. I'm abiding.